Mighty God, send your Holy Spirit to speak peace, that the good news of this age may be proclaimed through your word, which stands forever. Amen. Well, here we are in the fourth Sunday of Advent. I know you're ready for shepherds and wise men, but not quite yet. We're going to hear those stories on Christmas Eve when we all gather for lessons and carols to end Advent and to begin Christmastide. Just a little preview. The birth narratives that we all love are found in Matthew and Luke. Matthew has the story of the wise men. It's found only in Matthew. Luke tells us about the shepherds and the angels, and here again, it's found only in the Gospel of Luke. John's Gospel, which the beginning of which we will look at next week on the first Sunday in Christmastide, does not have a birth story, but instead tells us what the birth stories mean. You may remember those familiar words that begin John's Gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his story, and the darkness has never put it out. And that brings us to Mark. Mark's Gospel makes no mention of the birth of Jesus. Part of that is because Mark is the oldest of the Gospels. It was the first to be written down. And the early church in the first century was not really interested in the birth of Jesus. The centerpiece of Christian life and faith for them and for us is really contained in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, all four of the Gospel writers spend a lot of time on the death and resurrection. But in the early church, it was several centuries before the church began to set aside a time to celebrate the birthday of the Lord Jesus. So it remains for us today. The centerpiece of our life together as Christians is not really Christmas, it's Easter. Our hopes depend on Easter. But we love Christmas, don't we? And we need a season of hope and possibility in this cold and dark of the winter months. We love the time of Advent, which helps us to prepare in a meaningful way to remember our Lord's coming into human history. And as much as we love that little baby in the manger, he will not stay a baby. He will grow up to change the world. So, Mark's Gospel actually begins with John the Baptizer. In many of the more recent translations, and the one that we will use today, John is called John the Baptizer instead of John the Baptist, in order not to confuse him with our Baptist neighbors down the street, or to indicate that he really was a Baptist. So, if we continue to be on the passage that we're going to read, we would see that Jesus' first appearance with John is the event of Jesus' baptism. But John the Baptizer had a very particular job, a specific function, and that was to announce the one who is coming. He is to announce the coming of the Messiah. So let's hear this together from Mark 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were coming out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When my family lived in Lewisburg, there were some people, including a family friend, who had some experience with raising goats. I learned something interesting about the difference between goats and sheep. Sheep tend to stay together as a group, whereas goats are quite independent. You can herd sheep, but goats, not so much. Goats like to climb up on things and to scamper around, and one person rather poetically described them as liking to jump in the sunlight. And they kind of meander around. You can't herd them in the way you can herd sheep. In fact, they have to be confined because otherwise they will just wander off. Because we have to keep that in mind as we think about that this morning. Many years ago, my late husband and I were co-directors of an urban mission project in Charleston. And the offices of this project were located in the basement of St. Mark's United Methodist Church. St. Mark's is downtown. It's right across from the main post office. At that time, we actually lived in Lincoln County on a farm with two other families. But we would travel in to Charleston, and this was before Corridor G was completed. We would travel in. It was about a 45-minute journey one way. Every morning we would get up, and we would get our children, Claire and Andrew, and we would travel then to work, and the kids would go to Piedmont Elementary School, which was 4 or 5 blocks away from St. Mark's. When the school day was over, either their dad or I would walk over to Piedmont. It was easily within walking distance, and we would collect the children, and then we would come back to St. Mark's where they would play games or read or do their homework or do whatever they wanted to do until it was time for us to all get back in the car and return to Lincoln County. When Julian went to collect the children, it took a total of about 20 minutes. It was 10 minutes over and 10 minutes back. When I collected the children, it took an hour and a half. Now, the reason it took so long was because, unlike their dad, we didn't go the direct route. Depending on what the weather was like, we might have lingered on the playground of the school and where they would swing and maybe go down the slicky slide. And then, rather than take the direct route back to the office, we would go along Quarrier Street, because at that time, St. John's Episcopal Church had a retaining wall, which was the length of the block, and the children liked to walk on the top of that retaining wall. And then we might go to the old Diamond Department Store, which was still in business at that time, and we might use the bathroom. We might go down to the basement where the toys were all kept. And then rather than go directly right across the street back to St. Mark's, we might double back and end up at the Blossom Dairy. Of course, times change, and the Blossom has had several reincarnations. But at that time, the inside was quite elegant, quite beautiful. There was a crystal chandelier, and the countertop was made out of marble. Well, the kids were less interested in the marble top of the counter than they were with what was served at the Blossom. There were all manner of wonderful things which could be had there. Ice cream cones with sprinkles on the top, milkshakes, sundaes. So we would stop at the Blossom Dairy, and then, tired out and with full tummies, we would go to the office in the basement of St. Mark's. We were goat walking. Goat walking. That phrase comes from author James Corbett. He is not talking about children. He is really talking about goats. He says that they go over boulders and through blackberry brambles. They are independent and sure-footed, and their travel is not according to a path, but to wandering, goat walking. They are focused not so much on their destination as they are on the journey. Maybe, as we come to the conclusion of Advent, we might do well to become goat walkers. The temptation is all around us, and you are well aware of it, to give in to the clutter of our lives as never before during this season. Christmas can become our annual round of clutter and activities and schedules and jobs and other people's expectations and our expectations of ourselves and even our motives. I saw a magazine at the checkout counter at the grocery store. honestly, it was so typical of the many publications that come out during the season and during the month of December. And the lead article on the front said, 51 ways to a stress-free Christmas. 51 days to a stress-free Christmas. And underneath were some subcategories. One was soulfulness and simplicity. Well, I couldn't help myself. I added that magazine to the groceries I was going to buy because, after all, I want simplicity and soulfulness and a stress-free Christmas, wouldn't you? And under simplicity, there was another subtitle that said, how to prepare an elegant Christmas dinner in less than 1 hour. And another one said, 5 minutes to party makeup. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not sure those are attainable or that they can be done, but what it really represents is a deep feeling that all of us would really like a stress-free Christmas, and that we would really like to move towards soulfulness and simplicity. Would that we could become goat walkers. God has always encountered people through goat walking. The Bible tells us about Abraham and Sarah, who spent their lives as wanderers, as nomads. And Moses, who led the children of Israel, released from Egyptian slavery, spending 40 years wandering the Sinai Desert, goat walking. So it should not surprise us that according to Luke's telling of the birth story, that the first ones to hear the announcement of the birth of Jesus were those professional goat walkers, the shepherds, those scruffy, simple, social zeros, those goat walkers were the first ones on the scene to acknowledge and to worship the tiny newborn king. Would these ordinary peasants have been tuned into the miraculous message from the angels if they had been, say, attending a long-range planning session? Or if they had been fretting over their mortgage? Or if they had been spending time and energy on thinking up ways to make their herds spiffier than anybody else's? Probably not. Would that we could become goat walkers. Would that simplicity and soulfulness become the themes of our day. As Christmas fast approaches, we may all find it helpful to consciously take time to slow our steps and to broaden our horizons so that it may be possible to goat walk our way to Bethlehem this year. Now, to be a goat walker, to be a successful goat walker, you need three things. You need, first of all, to do nothing. And second, you need to go nowhere. And third is to loosen our hold. Do nothing? We Americans can hardly understand what that means. We put such great store into productivity and doing and multitasking. To do nothing? What might that mean? Isaiah has a passage in Isaiah 40 where he says, if you want to renew your strength, if you want to become strong, then the way you do that is to wait. You know the passage. It goes like this. Those who wait before the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How do we do that? We wait. We wait before the Lord. We do nothing. Are you feeling stressed out? Are you overscheduled? Kind of overwhelmed? Then do nothing. Wait. Wait before the Lord. Remember how one of the themes of Advent is waiting. Waiting before the Lord may mean living absolutely in the present moment. Maybe it means considering each moment that God gives us to be a God-filled gift. I don't know about you, but But my tendency, even when I'm trying to wait before the Lord, is to look into the past and fret about it, or to look into the future and to anticipate it and worry. The truth is, we do not have anything beyond this moment, this very moment. No guarantees about the next moment. So if we are to do nothing, if we are to goat walk, then we recognize this moment as a gift. We'll open ourselves to Christ being born again in us this year. I have a colleague who, along with his congregation, prepared a little devotional reading for each day of Advent, and the conclusion of each day's reading, this pastor asked his congregation to sit in silence for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. When I read that, I just laughed out loud. I said, "Oh, you don't ask much of your congregation." And then a little voice in my head said, "Well, Patricia, how long are you sitting in silence today?" For many of us, maybe most of us, if we were to sit in silence for 5 minutes, hoping to be open to the Spirit of God, it would be 100% more than we're doing right now. Is that not true for us? So if we do nothing as goat walkers, we are also to go nowhere. Let ourselves reap more than we sow. Take what God offers than to what we can grasp for ourselves. Goat walkers find a wealth of richness in the blessings that God has already given us, and they acknowledge those with gratitude. Goat walkers see their cups as half full rather than half empty. Goat walkers recognize the moments of joy that God gives us every day. You know, sometimes we get so distracted, so busy, that we aren't even aware, we don't even see what it is that God sends us. The kindly word, the smile of a stranger, someone who lets you in traffic, a note from someone that you have not heard from for a while, someone who compliments you, who affirms you in some way. These little breakthroughs of joy that God sends us every day. To go nowhere means to cultivate an awareness of what it is that God gives us. And finally, to loosen our hold. Goat walkers have the freedom to stop trying to take complete charge and control of their lives and to recognize that control is largely an illusion. That many of the things, maybe most of the things that happen to us, we have no control over. Goat walkers allow God to take over. Biblically, that has a name. And that name is trust. Trust. Can we trust that God has a plan for our lives and that God loves us and that our well-being is important to God? Can we trust that even when the bitter things happen to us, that God will redeem those things into something that means something? Can we trust? Can we loosen our hold? Think about it for a moment. The most beautiful and meaningful events that have ever happened to you at Christmas probably have nothing to do with the gifts that you've received or the material things of your life. The most meaningful and beautiful things have to do with our relationships. Our relationships with our friends, our connections with our families, the way we have the capacity and the potential to grow in our relationship with God. These are the things which give meaning to our lives and which we remember. Wouldn't it be great if we could just hold on to those moments? If we could just hold on to a feeling or to an event? You know, the truth is, we can't. We can experience them. We can embrace them. We can live them as consciously as possible. We can remember them, but we cannot hold on to them. And the same is true for our children, for our spouses, for our parents, for our friends. We cannot hold on to them. and the art of letting go, of emptying oneself out in order to be filled with something better. That is the paradox of the gospel. The paradox of the gospel. Jesus says, you lose your life in order that you may find it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we are imposters who speak the truth. We are penniless, and yet we own the whole world. So this year, throw away your compass, turn off your cell phone, unstrap your beeper belt, give up or at least cut down on the clutter of your life. Pull on your camel hair vest and pack up a baggie full of locusts and honey and go walk your way to Bethlehem. The Christ child not only awaits for us there, he will accompany us on the journey. Lord Jesus, you came among us to experience human life. You came as a baby, as we all come as babies. We just ask that you may help us during these last days of Advent to become goat walkers, to allow the contours of the earth and of our lives to determine where our paths will lead us. We would be open. We would be open so that the hand of God may be easily discernible and that we may follow with joyful assurance and trust. You have blessed us in so many ways. Keep our eyes open. Keep our minds sharp that we may recognize those. Help us to be gentle and kind to those around us. Help us to declutter our lives as best we are able so that we may have more space for you. We ask it, Jesus, in your own name and for your own sake. Amen.